Morning, church.
Good morning.
Today we'll be reading out of Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. Otherwise, you can follow up here on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the holy building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
Is that me? Okay, I thought I was moving stuff around. Before we get started, I want us to take a deep breath, breathe, forget about the cares of the world, because we are in Christ, we are in His we are with His people, we are excited to be here. God has definitely been good to us. Some of us woke up this morning and we're not feeling so good, maybe in a bad mood, gone through the week, frustrated, things have been going on, but at the end of the day, there are some days that are better than others, but at the end of the day, every day is good that God, that we have, and we can believe in God.
Amen.
And that's definitely a blessing. So I want us to just soak it in right now. This is the place to be. We are with God's people, we are excited. If you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know God's been good to you, say amen. Definitely. God has definitely been good to us. We're going to be in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been talking about how the Gentiles, the Gentile converts are in this church, and Paul is definitely speaking to them. He's trying to get them on board and educate them on what they have in Christ Jesus and the things that God has done for them. And I think it's a beautiful thing that we can see and break open God's word and understand what He is saying to us. And He is the creator of the universe and definitely gives us all of our being. But I want to pay attention to these verses. I think it's vital. I think it's important that we understand who we are in Christ and what our purpose is in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, this is where I want to start reading, where I want to have the main focus. It says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, and whom the whole building fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And I want us to understand that we are being built up as God, as a temple of God, a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And I say it's vital for us to understand who we are in Christ and our purpose in Christ. Because if we don't understand our purpose or who we are in Christ Jesus, then how can we ever begin to build on the foundation of Christ? How can we do it? Well, we can't. And he says, verse 21, it says, in whom the whole building being fitted together was growing into a holy temple. If we don't know who we are or what our purpose is, we can't be growing into a holy temple in God. And in third, verse 22, it says, in whom you are also being built together as a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So how can we be in spirit if we don't understand who we are and what our purpose is in the Spirit? And when we said last week, one of the things, one third of this chapter is dedicated to what we formerly were, what we once were. And I think that's vital because we have to remember what we once were before we can understand who we truly are. You have to remember where we've come from so we can understand who we are, what our purpose is. And I think that's one of the things that he's trying to hammer to these Gentile converts. He says in verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles, in the flesh who are called the uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. And I want us to keep that in mind, that circumcision that was performed in the humanly flesh with hands. So what is this uncircumcision? What is this circumcision? And he's telling us, basically keeping it simple, he says there are two groups. You have the Jews who are circumcised, and they were circumcised by the hands of man, not anything that we should boast in. Then we also have the uncircumcised, the uncircumcision, and that was the Gentiles. They are not God's people. So you have the Jews who are chosen. Those are God's chosen people. And then we have the Gentiles who are not God's chosen people. And then there's a wall that's right in between those two. And that wall is going to remain there until something happens. And then we look at verse 12. It says, remember that you were at that time separated up from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strange to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. So again, these Gentile converts are being converted to Christ Jesus. They want to be in Christ. They want to be in spirit. They don't want to be in the flesh. They want to understand that spirit. They want to know the spirit that God has blessed them with. So Paul's encouraging these people, these Gentile converts. He's letting them know, listen, you have amazing things, but we have to remember where we once were without the knowledge, without the understanding. And he says, remember that you were at one time separate from Christ. Well, what does that mean? We were separate from, we were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. Well, what does that mean? That means, go back to chapter 1, verses 3. It means this: you were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You didn't have the blessings. You had no blessings counted toward you. He says, verse 3, he says, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We didn't have those. We didn't have those. What else did we not have? He says, you didn't have that adoption. You didn't have that holy and blameless. You weren't holy and blameless before our Creator. He says, you didn't have that. You weren't adopted as sons of Christ. You weren't the praise of His glory. You had none of those things. You were separated. We were separated from the commonwealth of Israel. That was their place. And it says, you also were strangers to the covenant of promises. Well, what is this? What is this? He says, you weren't inside God's household. God's house is over here. And we're way over here somewhere. Keeping it simple. We weren't a part of that. You were not God's chosen. We were not God's chosen people. He says you're without hope. So you didn't have the verse 17, chapter 1. You didn't have you didn't have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. You didn't have those things. Verse 18, you didn't have the eyes of your heart enlightened. You didn't have the hope. You didn't have the inheritance. But now that we are in spirit, we have some things. But in order to appreciate where you are in the spirit of Christ, you have to remember where you once were. And that was excluded. But now God has opened it up and He has included everyone. This is an inclusive religion and a relationship with God. He has opened it up. How does He open it up? He says, but now, verse 13, there's that conjunction again. But now, where? In Christ. You who formerly were far off now have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. He broke down the barrier and the dividing wall and abolished in His flesh their enmity. There's that hatred. There's that dividing wall once again. So He says, you have this enmity. You have the Jews, the chosen people of God. You have the Gentiles. These people aren't chosen. There's a wall right there in the middle. And He says, I'm tearing that down through death. I'm tearing the law down so that we can include everyone. And that's a blessing, He's saying. He says, you have to know that. And you have to understand where you have come from so we can appreciate where we are in Christ Jesus. Where we can appreciate so we are in the spirit of Jesus. He wants us to grow. He wants us to have that excitement. He wants us to have that love. He wants us to have that joy. He wants us to have that knowledge and understanding of truth. Not the truth that originates within ourselves, because truth doesn't originate within ourselves. It was not within us, but the Spirit of God, this creator of this universe, the creator of heavens and earth, has blessed us and has opened it up and included us in this. And how did He do so? He did this in verse 14, for He is our peace, who had made both groups into one. He broke down the barrier, the dividing wall. How? By abolishing in His flesh the enmity, that hatred, which is in the law of commandments, contained in ordinance, so that in Himself He might take the two into one new man. What's that new man? In Christ Jesus. The two are no longer Jew, Gentile, but now we are in Christ Jesus. And I think that is a beautiful, beautiful understanding. And one of the things that we have to remember, back to verse 11, he says, the circumcision, the Jews would take pride in their physical achievements, what they achieved in the flesh. Well, he says, you know what? We aren't circumcised by the flesh anymore. We are circumcised in the heart and the spirit. Go to Romans chapter 4, if you want to go there with me. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Excuse me. Romans chapter 4, 11. Oh, actually, verse 1. 4, verse 1. It says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, was found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." Verse 3 says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages is credited as a favor, but as what is due." Verse 5, "But to the one who does not work, but believes in him, in God who justifies the ungodly, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." So again, this isn't a thing that we can accomplish by the works. This is not something we can accomplish by on our own doing. He says this is, we're justified by our belief in God. Our belief, not the work, not through the circumcision, not through the things that are worked by human hands, but by the belief and the faith that we have in our Creator. Amen? And that's what he's trying to encourage these Gentile converts and letting them know, listen, if not of anything, you do not have to fear less. You are no longer, back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11, you no longer are called the uncircumcision. You are no longer called the circumcision. It's none of that, but we are in Christ Jesus. And we have life now in the Spirit of God. And how does that happen? It comes through our belief and our faith. It's not our works. I have to remind us and myself of that. It's not our works. Verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them." So we would walk in his good works and not our own. Because if we could have done it on our own, what does he say? If we could have done this on our own, verse 9, "not a result of works, so that no one may boast." No one can boast. Gentile converts, remember where you came from. Because if you don't remember where you once were, then you will boast about your achievements, the works that you've done. Do we not do that? Do we not boast about our works? We can be honest with ourselves. We boast about our works. But God says we don't really boast about anything because that wasn't within us. But it's through the Spirit. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Talk about this boasting. I followed this word all throughout the scriptures one time. There's just all the boasting. Chapter 12 says, boasting is necessary. A thought is prophet, but I will go on to the visions and revelations of Christ. Then we go drop down to verse 5. He says, "On behalf of such a man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except in regard to my weakness." For verse 6, "For if I do wish to boast, I will not be foolish, for I will speak, I will be speaking in the truth. But I refrain from this so that the one who credited me will be more. He sees in me and hears in me." So he says, now drop back to chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, verse 30. If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains of my weaknesses. So if we're going to boast in anything, it needs to be in our weaknesses because we are supposed to be boasting in God. Because he works all things. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 4, sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. "Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has made us adequate," how? "As servants of a new covenant." So if we are to boast of anything, it needs to be of God, because He has blessed us and He has done the work so that we are His workmanship, and we are to do His good works and His good will. So that we are being built up in this dwelling of God in the Spirit. Back to that Ephesians verse. Again, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone. If we do not understand who we are in Christ and understand our purpose, then we will never be able to build on that foundation of the apostles and prophets and Christ Jesus, that cornerstone. We will never be able to be a holy temple for the Lord. We will never be able to be built up in a dwelling of God in the Spirit. We just can't do it if we are not in Christ, but He has made that possibility for us by abolishing the enmity in His flesh. Verse 16 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, He says, He might reconcile them both in one body to God, the cross, by having it put to death the enmity. Verse 17, and He came and He preached peace to you who were far off, Gentiles. And He preached peace to those who were near, the Gentile chosen people. Verse 18, for through Him, through Jesus, we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. How? Through the church. Look at verse 19. Or verse 18. Look at 18. For through Him, we both, Jew, Gentile, wall torn down, we both, everyone has access to one Spirit, to who? The Father. How? So that when we are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are God's, or of God's household. How does that happen? That happened because Christ Jesus abolished in His flesh, His body, brought both groups to one so that we can have life and we can be the dwelling of God in the Spirit. It's all about that dwelling, and until we understand who we are and our purpose in Christ, can we fulfill what he has mentioned to us in Ephesians. So what is this fellow citizenship? He says, we are now a people who understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Verse 20 says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone. If you go anywhere in the teaching of God, and the teaching is not on Christ, and He is not the cornerstone of the teaching, then we have an issue. We have an issue. This isn't an inclusive religion. This is an inclusive, Christ is including everyone. But He is not allowing us to do whatever we want to do or teach what we want to teach. But He's given us the opportunity to become something amazing. He's given us that purpose back in verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. So God gave you purpose. God gave me purpose for our lives. So how are we going to be that dwelling of God in the Spirit? How? Through the church, He says. He reconciled in His body. What did He reconcile in His body? Both groups into one. Both groups into one. For what? To be a dwelling place, fitted, verses 20 through 22, so that we can be built on Christ Jesus, the cornerstone, so this home that we're building in the dwelling of God will be. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, again, proves this point once more. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, he says, and coming to Jesus as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual household, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. Again, through Jesus, that one body. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a precious stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Jesus will not be disappointed in the Spirit. Verse 7, the precious value then is this for you who believe, but those who disbelieve, the stone which the builder rejected, this became a cornerstone, a stumbling block. Then drop down to verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen race. Okay. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a royal, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of God who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Beautiful. That's beautiful. Raise your hand if you called yourself out of darkness. I'll wait. Again. So we can't boast in anything. We can't. We can't boast in anything that's beautiful. Because he's doing all the work. We were talking about it over dinner, a few of us. And we talked about how we can't help Jesus. We can't help God. Do we all understand that? We cannot help God. We just can't help him. But what we do is we cooperate and we serve for our own benefit, so that we will proclaim and be the spiritual household for others. For ourselves is credited as righteousness, and to others we become a dwelling of God in the Spirit, so others can seek refuge to God. Not of anything boasting of ourselves, because we couldn't call ourselves out of darkness. We couldn't do it. We can't do it. I know we would love to try to do it. I've tried to do it. But we all come to the conclusion, he has to do the work. He's done the work. Amen? He's done it. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Man. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of God who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then verse 10 says, he reminds you once again, for you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I love it, Lord. You've received mercy. He says, but you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles and among one another, so that in things that they slander you, they can glorify God in the end. So again, I love the scriptures. I love them. He says, you have been saved through his grace, so that you can proclaim his excellencies. So are we proclaiming his excellencies? That's a question for us to answer in ourselves. Are you proclaiming God's excellencies? Are we proclaiming his excellencies? Or are we boasting in our works that we have done here on earth? Are you proclaiming his excellencies? Yes, I speak of God all the time. I talk about God. But where's your belief? What are you doing when no one's watching? Super. What are you doing? Are we in the Word? Because if we're not in the Word, man. I know when I'm not in the Word, my life is just, oof. God says, when we're not in the Word, I don't want you to proclaim my excellencies. First off, you can't proclaim my excellencies. The flesh can't proclaim the excellencies. Look at verse 22 of Ephesians. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 22. This is proof. He says, in whom you are also being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. If I'm in the flesh, then how could I ever be a building of God in the flesh? That's not even possible. Amen?
Amen?
How many of us live in the flesh at times? We all live in the flesh. Okay, Carlos. Carlos raised both hands. But it's true. But through our weaknesses, God makes us strong. His glorification is there. He's there. Through our weaknesses, he can be strong. Or he makes us strong. We can't make God anything. He makes us strong. Sorry. He makes us strong. We make him nothing. And we serve for our own good. Doesn't that seem selfish? We serve for our own good. But it has to be that way. It has to be that way. And it has to be that way so that we understand where we are and who we are in Christ Jesus. Because if we do not understand Christ Jesus, if we do not take the initiative to understand who we are in Christ Jesus, then we will never understand our purpose and what we're supposed to be doing, and that's being built up together in a spiritual dwelling of God in the Spirit. You will never understand that message until we accept the grace of God and start building on the corner, the one and only true cornerstone, and that is Christ Jesus. Until that process takes place, we can never begin to build. We can't. So I want us to check our lifestyle. What is our lifestyle like? What are we doing with our lives? So here's what I want us to focus on. Here's what God wants us to focus on. He wants us to remember where we once came from so we can appreciate where we are, so that we understand our purpose in Christ Jesus, so that we can be a dwelling of God in the Spirit. God lives in all of His people. And when we come together, we are a spiritual household, and we are here to be a dwelling for those, we're here to be a dwelling for one another, but also a dwelling place for those to seek refuge in Christ Jesus without harsh judgment, because we have to remember where we once were. We have to remember that. And you guys, I know some of us in here are like, you know, Quentin, we get it. We get it. You've repeated it like 3 or 4 times. We get that we have to be a spiritual dwelling place. We understand we're supposed to be this spiritual dwelling place. We get it. But do we really get it? Do we really get it? Because if we got it, we wouldn't be in the same situation that we're always in, trying to find this refuge. He says, stay with me, and we don't have to go through this process over and over and over again. Dwell in Him. Dwell in Him. Remember where you came from so that we can appreciate where we are, so that we know that we're supposed to be building up in the Spirit. Just remember those things. Peter says, I will be ready to remind you of the things that you have been established in. Why? Because I know you're going to forget as a human, because as soon as we walk out that door, I don't know how the flesh kicks in. I really don't know how it just kicks in, but it kicks in. I don't know, everybody here right now, we are all humble individuals. Amen? Amen. We're all humble individuals in here, right? I'm humble. You know, Quentin's a cool guy. He's a humble guy. But as soon as I get past those doors, I don't know what happens. Life starts happening. Yeah, who knows what's happening? But I want us to focus on that and remember those things. Because Christ Jesus is not going to be lenient with us. His grace does save us, but He is not going to allow you to live the way you want to live and do what you want to do in His body. We just can't do it. So let's be diligent to understand who we really are in Christ and what our purpose truly is in Christ. Because if we don't, we are not building on the cornerstone of Christ Jesus. We are building on the cornerstone of ourselves, and that is unacceptable. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable. Amen?
Amen?
Well, it's unacceptable in God's eyes, but it's acceptable in ours. And it happens. And we've all been there, He says. We are all in the same boat. We've all been formerly in those, that exclusion, without hope, without Christ. But today is a new day. Today's a new day. And if you have any struggles, if you want to get things right before it's everlasting too late, now is the time. Now is the time. Your life may be required of you this evening. Now is the time to get right. We don't have forever to get this right. So if you need to get right with Jesus, now is the time before it's everlasting too late. So if you have a need this morning, if you want to choose Christ, if you want to have better living, you want to have more accountability, then now is the time. So if you have a need this morning and you want to seek encouragement, prayers, more love from God's people, please stand as we have a song of encouragement.